good afternoon, and welcome to the September 20th edition of Lambda Weekly. I'm Laurent Landis, and I'm here by myself today. David is taking the weekend off, and Patty is out setting up for Pride Parade. Yes, today is Dallas Pride. Actually, it's called the Texas Freedom Parade. So she's out setting up for that. We've got plenty of time. I think the parade starts at 2 o'clock. So get ready to go out and enjoy the Pride. We'll talk about that a little more later, but I want to get to our guest. I'm excited to have him here today. My guest today is a high school behavior resource specialist and a co-sponsor of his school's Gay Straight Alliance Club. He also just happens to be one of my longest and dearest friends anywhere in the world and someone I've deemed as the coolest and best straight friend a gay man could ever ask for. He is Austin Harmon. Welcome, man.
Hey, man. It's great to be here.
I'm glad you came. So first, not only you're a gay man who, I'm sorry, a straight man,
But sometimes it's hard to tell.
Sometimes it's hard to tell. That's the problem. And not only are you a straight man who enjoys show tunes, now you've become involved in a GSA, Straight Alliance. How did that happen?
Look, actually, one of the other teachers on our campus had a student approach her last year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as teenagers always do, they come up and ask for something and came up and said, we need your help with something. She's like, uh-oh, what am I getting into? And then they told her we would like to start a GSA group, a GSA chapter on campus. And she thought it was a great idea. So she started it last year and sent out an email to the staff saying that the first meeting was going to happen and would they please put these posters up on the door to let students know. And, of course, I immediately went up to her room the next time she had a conference period and was like, I want to co-sponsor this. I want to do this with you. And she was like, oh, okay, I didn't expect you to be this enthusiastic.
So, she doesn't know Austin.
Yeah.
let's kind of go to the beginning. How is the GSA started? It is started by kids.
On our campus, it was. They approached and said that they wanted to do it, which is, I mean, it was really neat for me to see that happen because I know that when we were in school, you know, at the teenage level, the high school level, to come out and say, I want to start something like that would have been very difficult. I don't know that anybody really would have felt comfortable doing that and felt like they would have been safe from ridicule to have said that to a teacher or to somebody else on campus. So, I mean, it's been a long time, obviously, since we were in school, but I think that it's come a long way. And I was very proud that they felt comfortable with her, that she had given off the vibe that it was something that they could approach her with and express to her. And so then, you know, I was very happy that I was able to get into it with them.
Well, part of the reason why I wanted you to come on and talk about this is, you know, partly to dispel some of the myths about GSAs. And that's one of them. You know, there's been controversy in several different cities around the country about GSAs. And one of the myths is someone from the faculty, administration, staff, somebody started the GSA, and that's not actually how they work. You know, it's just like any other, it's not an extracurricular activity, but any other group that a student starts, and then they have to have a sponsor. Now, of course, there's some little more details on that, but that's basically it. And I know there was a case, I think maybe it was Lubbock, but somewhere here in Texas in the last couple of years, a GSA was started, and there was some hoopla about it, and it went all the way to court because the principal didn't want it. But according to laws, you have to let them do this. As long as they can find a sponsor, they can start whatever group they want. And it went to the court, and the kids won. So, you know, for those who out there have heard about GSAs, this is not something that teachers or administration start.
Right. You know, and I don't know that it would be a bad thing if, you know, teachers put out that they wanted to do something like that to mm-hmm. give those students a voice and to give those students a chance to have a sense of, you know, a community or a group that they felt comfortable in. But I can see where if a student starts it, if a student asks to start a group like that, there's not going to be quite as much of a backlash because, unfortunately, it's still kind of walking on eggshells when you do something like this because, you know, there's controversy around it, unfortunately.
Yeah,
you know,
oh, yeah.
In this day and age that some people don't want to accept that. And so, you know, you've got to be careful, you know, as an employee, what you do and what you say to students. Because, you know, your job hinges on whether or not people feel like you're being, you know, a positive role model, or whether or not you're staying within the bounds of what you're supposed to do as a teacher. And there are certain lines, you know, you really aren't supposed to cross, whether it's, you know, with a GSA or giving advice to any student about things in their personal life. I mean, there's a fine line between being a teacher and guiding somebody and trying to tell them what you think they should or shouldn't do in their personal life. And that's, you know, we've got to be careful with that.
And, you know, and I understand that the nature of this, the nature of the club, it's, you know, deals with sexual orientation, but it's really not sex. Sex is really not part of the dialogue, is it? That's another misconception.
Yeah, and really, the first year we did it, we had our first meeting, and we told the students at the first meeting, this is not about whether you're gay, whether you're straight, you know, bisexual, doesn't matter. And we don't, you don't have to share it if you don't feel comfortable sharing it. We're not pressing anybody to share that. We're not pressing anybody to have to come out or to have to justify whether they're straight, whether they're gay to anybody. This is just a group that says it doesn't matter. We right. accept that we may be different, but that doesn't mean that we have to be apart. We can still be friends. We can still support each other. We can still have a common goal of promoting acceptance regardless of our own orientation. And so it really, I don't think, should be part of the equation to make that a topic of conversation because it doesn't matter.
Yeah, you know? Right. Well, and it's funny because, you know, some of the hoopla I've heard is, you know, there's this gay group on campus. They forget about the straight part. It is a gay straight alliance. So it's just not made up of gay kids or kids who are questioning or bisexual. There is the straight part. You know, this unification of all these kids who have different sexual orientations. So far, what's been the makeup? The ones who have revealed their sexual orientation, what's been the makeup so far?
And that's funny because at the start of this year, we had our first meeting and one of the first students to talk said, this is my name and I'm gay.
And but he's not required to?
No, I was very surprised.
He doesn't have to say that?
Say it, no.
Okay.
Not at all. Matter of fact, last year, like I said, we didn't bring that up at all. If somebody wanted to talk about it, we weren't going to discourage them from expressing themselves.
Right.
Because that's what the group's really about, feeling comfortable expressing yourself. But at the same time, we aren't going to press people to do that because we don't want to set anybody up to be uncomfortable. But he did. I mean, very first off the bat, said that. And the other students sort of followed the lead at that point. And it was very interesting to me that they were all felt very comfortable saying, you know, whether they were straight or gay and mm-hmm. why they were there. A lot of them, you know, had various reasons to be there, which we'll get into in a minute. But I would say 60%, maybe a little over 60% were straight.
Really? Mm-hmm. So not the opposite.
No. And
wow.
You know, at first I thought that's kind of surprising.
Yeah.
But the more I listened to why they were there, the more we talked about it, and the more I thought about when you and I, you know, were in high school.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew. I mean, you did not come out to me until long after high school. But there were a couple people in high school that we knew in right. our senior year. They had, at least in private, said something about
exactly.
it to come out.
They had.
And it is so much easier to say, I'm straight, and I have friends that are gay, and I support, you know, that, and I fight for their rights, than it is to say, I'm gay, and I'm fighting for my own rights. Because if you come out and express, you know, your sexual orientation and you're gay, a lot of people, there'll be backlash, unfortunately.
Oh,
and
man.
It's much easier for me to say, well, I'm, you know, I'm in the majority, so I can fight for the rights of somebody who's not in the majority, and there's not much backlash on me.
You're absolutely right. You get it. You so get it. That's so cool. Because you're absolutely right. It's one thing to say that you are as opposed to just being what society would consider normal and you're friend with somebody who is. That's totally different. So was that mainly the reason why some of the straight kids said they had joined, was to support the friends?
Yeah, a lot of them were there to support friends that were there at the club meeting. Mm-hmm. And what really got me was a lot of them were there. And it wasn't because they had a friend on campus or a friend in the group. It was because they had a family member or they had
awesome.
Grown up with somebody they knew, you know, or they had someone in their life, like a neighbor or a friend of the family, you know, that was gay. And to them, it was that's the normal part of life. You know,
right,
some people
right.
are straight, some people are gay, and we should all be able to look past that. And so they were there to support the idea in general, not because there was someone specific on campus that they wanted to be there to support. So I was really glad to see that it was going beyond the bounds of just my immediate friends on campus
mm-hmm.
and stretching out to, I'm here because I know people in the community, and I think that everyone should accept that we can have our own opinions and our own ideas.
Yeah, that's wonderful. I mean, that goes to show coming out does make a difference. And you do leave good impressions on everybody. It's far-reaching. That's really good. You talked about the goals. Obviously, one of the goals of GSA is, you know, for unification. And what are some of your other goals? Is this like kind of just a social gathering? Y'all have any plans just to get together, hang out, have dinner?
We've talked, like I said, the first year we didn't do a whole lot because, mm-hmm. like I said, we were breaking new ground for our school.
Right.
And so we wanted to make sure that we didn't, you know, unfortunately, really had to make sure we didn't upset the balance of anything, that we didn't, you know, go too far in making waves or anything, which it's sad to say that you've got to worry about that kind of stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And not because anybody directly made us uncomfortable. I mean, we had support, you know, when because you have to go to the administration and get any new group approved. And they said, yes, you know, you can have the group. They didn't, you know, try to stop that.
Mm-hmm.
So that was, you know, really good. But we knew that some people were not going to be comfortable with this idea. And I think there's part of it that is some people just don't want to accept, you know, that people are homosexual. And some people just are never going to accept that, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And I think to some degree, some people, where they may say they're more open-minded, they may be more accepting of it. Anytime you're doing something that is, to a degree, controversial, and you're doing it with students, who
yes.
we still look at, even at a high school, as impressionable, as still molding their personalities and molding their political views and their religious views and all that stuff that really starts to be solidified in those last years and going into college, anything you do that may strongly influence that, people are getting nervous about.
In addition to that, I think, again, with the topic of sex, it's a little different when you're talking about kids. Though sexual orientation, you don't have to be talking about sex. I don't know, that doesn't necessarily have to be the part of the dialogue. But I find it interesting. A lot of people who are anti-gay think that gay is an adult thing. It's just something adults do. They don't think that there's such a thing as gay kids. You know, that's just unheard of. You don't become gay till after you.
They get probably out of, also support abstinence-only education. Since there's no
exactly
such thing as a pregnant teenager.
Exactly. You know, it's like, hello, we do exist. Some of us have known since we were 4 or 5 that we were gay. Absolutely, but the thing is, especially from our generation, not too many kids were going to admit it. You know, things are different now. You know, I always say I take my hat off to these kids these days. Lambda Weekly has, we have covered the gay prom, the gay lesbian prom that they do over at SMU. We've covered it at least 3 times. But it's been a while. We need to go back. And I've just been always blown away about these 13 and 14-year-old kids there who are openly gay. Now, of course, they have the support of their parents, and that's why they're there. That's wonderful, but I'm like, I didn't come out slowly until I was 19, 20. 13 and 14? No way.
Oh, yeah.
No way. So these kids who are taking who have the courage and taking the initiative to start these GSAs, whether they're gay or straight, whoever started them, I take my hat off to you. Just a little background on GSAs in general. They started in 1998 from a GSA that was started in San Francisco, California. And within a year, there's about 40 different clubs that sprang up in California. Now, there's over 650 clubs around the country, and that makes up just a little bit over more than half the high schools in this country have GSAs. That's what, in 10 years' time?
Yeah.
I think that's pretty good.
That's
pretty good. So, I don't know how many. I couldn't find any data, but I wonder how many schools in the Dallas-Fort Worth area have a GSA. That'd be something interesting to know. But, you know, if you're interested, want to find out more about it, there is a GSA network. You can go to gsanetwork.org, and I'll repeat that by the end of the show. So, it's pretty interesting. Let's see here.
And I'm sorry, I just wanted to, you know, say that it really, the thing that it touched on me and the reason I wanted to get so into it was partially because when we were in high school,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you and I were growing up, you know, my first friend that was open to me about being gay didn't even go to school with us. You know, he was a couple years older than us. William, you remember William?
Oh, yeah.
Was the first one to really say, yeah, I'm gay and I'm, so what?
Right.
Well, let's go hang out. I'm like, all right. And, you know, it didn't really bother me. It didn't, you know, faze me that he was wanting to come out to me or that he had to justify it to me because I was thinking, well, and? You know,
yeah.
We're just hanging, we're friends. I don't care what
right.
your orientation is. You're fun to hang out with.
Right.
And, you know, growing up and getting older and going to college and it being a little bit easier for people to come out when they're older. And I think that one of the things, and I'm going to put you on the spotlight here because you're one of the reasons, you know, is you and I got to be such good friends in high school. You know, our junior year and our senior year, I mean, we were so inseparable that
That's
as
true.
Much as we don't look a thing alike, people called us by each other's names. How often
All
teachers
the time.
Would
All
call
the
us
time.
By each other's names? And, I mean, there's nothing about us that is physically similar, you know? I mean, I'm 6 inches taller than you and as pale
yeah.
as you could possibly be? I mean, I'm, you know, liquid paper makes me, you know, look light.
Right.
But, you know, when you talked to me, and I guess this was like our third or fourth year of college, when you finally came out to me.
Right.
And even me, and we had been inseparable friends. I mean, we had spent all of our time together. We were at right. school together. We had social, you know, done all the social activities. You were still, even then, worried about my reaction
and
to that.
And the thing is, what happened was, welcome to the Austin and LaRon show.
Personal history here.
Personal history here. The thing is, okay, I knew, of course, not only I knew that I was gay, I've known it for years, I also knew that you would be okay with it. In the back of my mind, I'm like, Austin is like I said in the intro, they're one of the coolest, gay-friendly guys I could ever have met. I know that. Even in high school, you know, Austin and I are, you know, we're Rocky fans. We used to go to Rocky Horror Picture Show all the time.
Oh, yeah.
And you can't go there and not see some gay guys. You'd be hard-pressed not to. But even then, I don't know why.
Where you met William.
I think the longer it went, it's just like, okay, it just snowballed. And I'm like, you know, why not just go in and tell him? And I don't know. It's just one of those things. It's just not real an easy thing until you get comfortable in your skin.
And I think, I mean, from the way I took it, I think the thing that seemed the hardest when you were telling me was not accepting whether or not you were gay. I mean, you had no problem accepting that. You were very comfortable with yourself.
Right.
I think it was more that you hadn't felt comfortable telling me when we were in high school, even though you
right.
knew.
Oh, yeah.
And you were worried more about my reaction that you had not been honest with me about things back then because you didn't feel as comfortable back then. And that's really one of the driving things to me was not being comfortable in whether or not you want to out yourself, because that's a decision only each individual has to make
right.
for themselves. Nobody
right.
can make that decision for you, and no one should. And I know that it's happened to some people, and that's no one should do that to somebody else. That's a personal decision.
You have to come to that decision yeah. yourself. Absolutely.
You know, and hopefully there will come a day where no one feels like they have to come out because, you know, it won't matter.
Right.
It's like I didn't have to have them coming out and go, I'd like to come out and say I'm straight, you know? And hopefully there will come a day that nobody feels like they have to out.
Right.
You know, that word won't even mean anything. But the fact that you couldn't feel comfortable with it when we were in high school because of the potential backlash and harassment
right.
that you may
right.
have received, that you had to wait, and then you felt bad that you hadn't told me, even though we were such good friends. And I don't want anyone to go through that. I don't want anybody to feel like they can't be open with their friends and be open about who they are and accept themselves early, because having to hide that part of you and having to almost not accept yourself because you're afraid of what other people in society may think is really, it's a horrible thing to live through.
Oh, yeah.
Whether it's because
oh, yeah.
you're gay or because you have something else going on in your life, your parents are divorced, or, you know, your dad has been in jail, and you've got, you know, I mean, there's that stigma, and there should not be a stigma attached to your sexual orientation.
Absolutely. Well, yeah, that's what I say, everybody should have a friend like Austin. I mean, and I hope these GSAs create that. Again, you don't have to go and out yourself. You just go and be yourself, and you might find some support that you, right there at your school that you didn't even know you had.
Yeah.
Whereas I didn't come out to Austin in high school, at the same time, I always felt very comfortable around him. In the event that he did find out, I wasn't going to freak out about it because I knew Austin had, well, we had a few other friends who were admittedly gay or bisexual.
Mm-hmm.
And also, in full disclosure, Austin and I, we were very involved in the theater. That kind of lends itself to being around other GLBT folk. At the time, our senior year, it wasn't, but the year
right.
before that, our director was gay. He wasn't open, but we all knew it.
Yeah.
I was more sure of that than I was sure that my mom was my real mom. You know, I don't think anybody doubted that, but now since we've been out of high school, we have confirmed that. So we had a really good environment that lent itself for acceptance. And I think that's just part of being in the theater world.
Oh, absolutely.
But we're going to take a break. We'll be right back on Lambda Weekly.
A donation will help support great programming here at KNONAUTO or donate online at KNON.org. 877-KNON-AUTO.
You're listening to Lambda Weekly on 89.3 KNON FM, Dallas and Fort Worth, the voice of the people. And welcome back to Lambda Weekly. Again, I want to remind everybody, today is Dallas Pride. Actually, it's called the Texas Freedom Parade. Attended if you've never been, it's a sight to see. David is taking a weekend off, and that's where Patty is. She is setting up for the parade. So go and have a good time after the show is over with. Show ends at 1, and the parade starts at 2, so you got plenty of time to get out there. I'm talking with my dear friend Austin Harmon, who is a co-sponsor of a GSA, a Gay Straight Alliance, at his high school. And, you know, we're just talking about when we were in high school, the different dynamics between then and now. And I don't know. If someone had created a GSA back in when we were in high school, I may have attended, and I stress the word may, but I definitely wouldn't have come out.
Right.
I just wouldn't have. And but I know for a fact you definitely would have attended.
Oh, yeah. And it's like, it goes back to what I was saying earlier. It would have been easier for me to attend.
Yes.
Because the backlash on me would have been less. Then again, it's not like I didn't get picked on in high school all the time anyway. What would one more thing have been?
Okay. True. Let's just add to the list. What's been some of the response from school staff, school administration, or has there been any response at all? People who are not involved with the GSA?
We've had some responses on both sides of the issue. We've had teachers who got involved once they knew about it. Like, we had one of our counselors who came and got involved with us so we could do a little bit more with the students by having a counselor there with us so we could do more talking about the issues and stuff rather than just be a social group. And we didn't feel comfortable doing that without a counselor in the midst because we didn't want to feel like we were overstepping the bounds of what we are there to do as professionals, you know, as educators. But the counselor, that's their job, is to talk to kids about what they're going through, what they're experiencing. So by having that additional resource, it kind of opened up more for us to be able to do. This year, when we started the group, we had one teacher who had not been involved last year who showed up because he saw that it was going on and he wanted to come help be part of it. And another teacher who wasn't able to make the first meeting but, you know, had said she wanted to help be part of it and, you know, actually went so far as to come up and write a note on the dry erase board that says, "I'm sorry I lied. I won't be able to be here, but I'll be there next." You know, I mean, right, to let the students know that she did want to support the group. So we've had that. You know, we've had staff members who have supported it. And obviously there are going to be some staff members who aren't going to accept it. I mean, that's unfortunate, but it's real. I mean, to sit there and say that everybody in a school that's, you know, a 5A-size school, you know, over 2,000 students, over 120, 140 staff members, that every single one of them is going to be open and accept this, and that's not realistic because they're all from different parts of the area. They all have, you know, their own experiences, different ages. And some of them, it's not something they're comfortable accepting.
And you're right. That's unrealistic to think you're going to have 100% acceptance rate. However, has any the ones who haven't been, I mean, that does, just because you're not accepting that, that doesn't mean you have to go and express it.
Right.
And has any of them done that?
Not to me. I mean, the other sponsor said that very early on she got some concerned emails about why we were having this group and, you know, people who didn't think that it was appropriate. And I don't know if that was simply because we were having a group that had gay in the title, you know, or if they thought that the focus of the group was going to be more about, you know, sort of similar to that word, indoctrinating, you know, that we were going to be promoting this and saying you have to accept this. And that's not what we're about. We're not going to force somebody to come to this meeting and say, "Now you have to come and you have to accept that some people are different." You have to choose to accept what you will and won't accept. I can't make you accept something. But we need to offer a supportive environment for people to say that, yes, you should be accepted. I mean, I would hate it to find out that, well, people aren't going to accept me because I got, you know, hair all the way down to my, you know, pants. You know, "Oh, you're a long-haired hippie freak. We can't accept you."
Right.
You know,
right.
And if that was, you know, if I lived in a world where that was unacceptable to most people, I would want to find a place that people said, "Hey, it's fine."
Absolutely.
And I kind of feel, to a degree, that's what this school for me has been because, I mean, think about it. How many teachers, when you were in school, had a long ponytail?
This is true.
You know, and the fact that people ask me all the time, they let you have that because they're almost in shock. Things are different now. It's okay that I don't look like your standard typical teacher educator.
Right.
But I'm accepted, you know, because of who I am. And I've proven what I can do at my job. I've proven, you know, to my coworkers and people that I can do my job and do it well. And it's the same thing for these kids. It doesn't matter what your orientation is. It's how you are as a person. Have you proven yourself as a person to be a good person, to be a good friend, and to be accepting of others? That's what matters. Your orientation is beyond the pale. It doesn't make a difference to us.
Right.
You know, if we had not a single straight person or not a single gay person in the group, it wouldn't make a difference. It's, are the people that are in this group going to be the supportive, accepting students and be willing to accept anybody who happens to walk in that door and say, doesn't matter. You don't ever have to tell us. Just come in and be part of the group.
Have you had any transgender students yet?
No, we have had in the past, and this was before the group got started, but we have had kids at the school who, I think we had one girl that I remember that a lot of people thought was a boy when they didn't know her. Like, I had seen her in the hallway and thought that it was a boy because of the way she dressed and the way she, you know,
put
herself.
So
and I've had
it was a girl.
Male student. Yeah.
Okay.
And there was a male student who did the opposite. I mean, you would have thought, you know, just, and he didn't wear dresses, I mean, that to that degree, but seeing him, you would have thought, okay, this is a girl, and, you know, by just the way he would, you know, what he would choose to wear and the way he would present himself and things like that. So, but we haven't had, you know, a transgender. We haven't had somebody, you know, who has
started
that process
therapy
of therapy or anything like that.
Okay.
And I don't think that we will, and I hope we don't, and let me justify that.
Okay.
I think at that age, with what your body's going through and all the changes chemically that you're already experiencing with puberty, which is, you know, nature's cosmic joke on us all, but to do something like that that is such a hormone-required therapy thing,
that's a lot. And even adults who, transgendered adults, they'll tell you. I mean, not even adults, they'll tell you. It's legal. You have to go through years of therapy, licensed therapy, before sometimes you'll even get that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you're right. I would hope a high school student would not have to go through that.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. What about students? Any response from students who are not part of the group?
No. I mean, we had one student who showed up to our meeting who was kind of there to see what it was about and, you know, was not as comfortable with the idea, but at least he showed up to find out what we were about.
Hey, I was about to say, I give him credit for at least even showing up to find out rather than just automatically passing judgment.
Yeah. And I hope that as more people spread the word, because word of mouth is really how you're going to get a group like this off the ground.
Mm-hmm.
And I think as more people realize that, you know, they have a friend who's part of the group and they have a friend who supports the group, that they may go, I guess it's okay, you know, to go check this out. Because sometimes peer pressure can do horrible things. Sometimes it can do great things.
Yeah.
You know, when it's positive pressure to say that, you know, people are saying, hey, you should accept that people can be different. Or, you know, you should, you know, be willing to look into things that go beyond what you're used to, because new experiences are what, you know, shape you as a person. That maybe more people will start to give this a chance and say, well, what is it really about? Because they may not know. I mean, a lot of people may have that, you know, misconception that this is about having to discuss your sexuality. This is about having to, you know, go into, you know, long discussions about that type of thing in your life. And it's not. It's not at all about that. It's just about having a place where everybody can feel accepted.
And be themselves. Now, not that it's even important, but I'm just curious. Are there any openly gay or lesbian staff at your school?
It's kind of hard to say, because are there staff members that we as other staff members know are homosexual? Yes. You know, and are not uncomfortable talking about it. But as far as it being open with our students and having that discussion with our students, I don't know of anyone. And I think that's more that, again, that's sort of that line that we have to, you know, walk on, where I wouldn't want to discuss with my students why I was straight and my, you know.
Yeah, that's your personal relationship.
Yeah, yeah. It's kind of one of those areas that it's not so much whether you're gay or straight. It's that, is that topic of conversation something that we as educators need to be having with our students? Is that something that's appropriate for us to discuss? Not because of your own orientation, but just that particular topic. As educators, that's, I don't feel, is really necessarily our place to get into that. Their counselor would be a great place for that. You know, other resources the district offers may be a place for them to, if they're wanting to talk about that, or they need, you know, to have that type of discussion. But me as an educator, you know, if I'm a math teacher, I'd have a real hard time justifying why that became a topic of conversation in my classroom.
Good point.
And again, not because there's anything, you know, good or bad about expressing your orientation. It's just when and where you do it, and I don't think that's necessarily the best place for it.
Yeah. Now, you didn't mention that there is another counselor, because you are a counselor.
Yes.
But there is another counselor that is a co-sponsor of this group.
Right. And the difference is I do not have my LPC license. I'm not a licensed professional counselor.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that's why we definitely wanted to make sure we got one of the other counselors involved to have somebody with an LPC, to have that background, so that if somebody wanted to discuss those things, again, I as an educator, maybe not the right thing for me to be talking to,
right.
but a licensed professional counselor who that's what they do for a living, and that's why their services are available on campus, would be the right person to have available. So if a student did need to talk about it or did have some questions or some concerns, you know, about things in their life, they knew that this counselor was accepting and this counselor was somebody they could feel safe talking to should the need arise. And obviously, we wouldn't say, well, you got to do it right here in front of the group.
Oh, of course,
it's your comfort level. If they want to find that counselor on their own time or during the group meeting or after group meeting, whenever they're comfortable talking about it, they know that resource is available to them, and they won't feel like, will I be rejected if I go to my counselor and express myself? Are they going to say that I'm wrong for expressing myself?
You know, I think that's, I'm sure, even without the existence of a GSA on campus, I'm sure counselors have gotten, have had students come to them and talk about their sexual orientation. You know, they're confused about it or, you know, whatever. I'm sure that's nothing new. However, I would think that a GSA would actually enhance the tools of a counselor. You know, if somebody came to talk to them in private, and he or she could say, hey, we also have this group that you might want to go to. You don't have to, but just letting you know, it is available. Now, in that situation, you know, we talked about how I didn't come out in high school, and I wouldn't have, even if we had a GSA. Who knows? Maybe had I gone and, you know, after a couple of meetings, felt comfortable to let you know, because it's a big thing about comfort level. Letting, in my mind, okay, I know I'm not the only one. There are some cool people who will be, you know, cool with it. I may have come out to a couple people.
And that's where, when I talk about that positive peer pressure, mm-hmm. I mean, if we had had a group like that available to us, that would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome.
When we were in high school, I think that having gone, if you had gone, and I probably wouldn't have dragged you to it, you know.
And you probably, come on, LaRon.
You got to come to this with me. He has no idea. But I think having been there, and having seen, you know, four or five other students who were comfortable enough to say, you know, hey, yeah, this is why I'm here, and to see the number of students who maybe weren't gay but were supportive of that may have given you that comfort level earlier to say, well, wow, if they're saying it's okay to talk about it, and these other people are saying it's okay if you tell me because I accept you, whether you tell me or not, I accept you whether you're straight, gay, whatever.
Right.
That might have made it easier for you to say, well, then, okay, I can express myself because there is that support structure. I'm not going to be ridiculed. I'm not going to be looked at as different or, you know, people don't want to be around me because there's nothing wrong.
Right.
And that's, I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself, but there's one thing that I talked about in our first meeting, and I'm guilty of it, and I wish that I, you know, could say I was perfect, but I'm not.
Hey, we all learn.
But one thing that I catch myself doing, and I try to beat it out of myself, and I've talked to my students about it at the first meeting, is often we will say things like, well, I'm not gay, I have friends that are gay, whatever, and I have no problem with that. And we throw that phrase in there as if we're trying to justify that we're okay with it. Well, obviously I'm okay with it, or I wouldn't be coming here, I wouldn't be sponsoring a group. But at the same time, you'll never hear somebody say, or at least in the mainstream, you'll never hear somebody say, well, this is my friend, he's straight, but I have no problem with that. You know, and you laugh because if you said it, you'd probably be saying it as a joke. You know, twist the situation.
Exactly.
But it's almost like we feel a need to justify that I don't have a problem with something, as if there should be a problem to begin with.
Right.
It's almost like we accept that people are going to have a problem, and we have to justify that we don't. And
I
wish we could get beyond that and not have to justify that I don't have a problem with it, because it shouldn't be a problem to begin with. We shouldn't be looking at it that way.
Not only to justify that you don't have a problem with it, it's also a way to let people know immediately, hey, he is, I'm not. You know?
Yeah.
Just a quick put it out there. I'm not, but he is. You know, that type of thing. But no, I see what you're saying. But yeah, I'll work with you on that.
All right. You catch me doing it, just smack it.
Okay, all right.
Justify who, you know.
And last, has there been a response from parents?
I have not received any response from parents.
Good or bad?
The sponsors have not, the other sponsor has not shared that with me. Like I said, she shared with me early on last year that there were some teachers who were concerned about why the group was there,
mm-hmm.
and that kind of thing. But as far as I have been aware, we have not had any teachers who have, or I'm sorry, any parents who have called in one way or the other. And I don't know if that's because they're not aware of it, because the students that go, you know, have more support at home, the students that don't go don't talk about it. I don't know if that's because, you know, they just accept that it's there. Or, you know, so I don't
I'm sure it's probably a little bit of all of that.
Yeah,
I'm sure that the few gay students that have are attended the GSA, I would be shocked if there's a 100% rate that they're all even out to their families.
Yeah. And there may have been parents who called in with some concerns, and we just weren't told. They were handled, you know, at the administrative level, and we were never told about it.
Which,
you know, I'm not upset about that because that's proper. I mean, it's not a place for me to handle it with a parent and say whether or not. I mean, that's an administrative decision. The group exists on campus.
Right.
And if they have a real issue, that's who they would need to take it up with. So, and I want to say, with not having any experience in radio, I can't answer these phones. So everybody who's making this thing blink in my face because they're calling in, I'm not talking to you. And it's not because I'm an elitist. It's because I have no idea what I'm doing here.
They love you. They love you. That's why they're calling in. We're going to take a quick break and then go to the entertainment report. We lost somebody pretty dear and near to our hearts this weekend or this week. Patrick Swayze, actor Patrick Swayze, passed away this week at the age of 57 after battling pancreatic cancer for nearly 2 years. Now, though he appeared in or starred in around over 40 movies, the native Texan. Did you know he's from Texas?
No.
Yeah. I knew he was from Texas, but it's nowhere. He was born and raised in Houston. I was probably best known for his role in the 80s hit movie Dirty Dancing and the movie Ghost. Patrick held a special place in the hearts of gay fans for his portrayal of a drag queen in the movie Ji Wong Fu. Thanks for everything, Julie Newmar. You know, I've always been a Patrick Swayze fan. Not a huge fan. You know, he's just kind of like your average actor to me. But I had so much more respect for him when he did that movie.
Oh.
Not that it's the most brilliant movie in the world or anything. It's a fun comedy. But just the fact that here's this guy who in Hollywood had this image of a man's man, was willing to put on the dress and makeup and give it all he had.
And look good.
And look good.
I mean, I had no idea he was 57. I didn't realize he was that old. I mean,
yeah.
I knew
yeah.
thinking that he had to be, but that old, dealing with cancer, and
yeah.
still looked good.
He looked pretty good, yeah.
I'm already look worse than that, and I'm not even 40 yet, you know? It's not fair.
Patrick said that, you know, a long time ago when he talked about doing the role of Vita in Ji Wong Fu, he said it was an opportunity to create a character who was truly an angel. He thought playing a drag queen was a big old lark and that he'd play a big old queen. But in rehearsals, he said it didn't work out. He realized that his job was to be the heart of the movie and stood for every drag queen on the planet for anyone who's been misunderstood. He said it turned out to be the most emotional thing in his entire career, and he was pretty proud of another cool straight guy.
Awesome.
So, yeah, he will be missed. There's plenty of talk. There's been plenty of talk in the last year or so about the return of the game show, The Newlywed Game, and the possibility of having a gay couple on, or gay couples on, since gay marriage was briefly legal in California.
Yeah, excuse me. You're doing a great job. You're doing a great job, and I think your entertainment report is great, but E-Entertainment News is better. I think they have the best report of all time right there. So, thank you. You have the microphone back now.
Okay.
That's my Kanye moment right there for you.
Thank you, Kanye Harmon. Oh, I could go on about Kanye, but we'll keep going. Let's see here. Okay. Since gay marriage was briefly legal in California, they said, okay, we need to have some couples on. Well, of course, they took that away. And, of course, if you got a handful of other states, and, of course, Canada, you can still get married. And that's one of the qualifications. If you apply for the newlywed game, you have to show that you actually are legally married. So it's interesting. Anyway, guess who the first gay couple is going to be?
Who?
George Takei from Star Trek.
All right.
And his husband of 22 years. So that's going to be fun.
That is awesome.
Yeah. Nicole Kidman won an Academy Award for her performance as a bisexual artist, Virginia Woolf, in the movie The Hours. Now she's set to play a male to female transgender artist, the Danish painter Lily Elbe, in the film The Danish Girl. So that's going to be interesting. Maybe another Academy Award for her. Yeah, I've never heard of this woman, never heard of her story, but I was reading, and it says that this was really before her time. She tried to get a sex change. They went on, let me see here, 5 different times to do a sex change, an operation, and it didn't work. They tried to remove his penis and do an inverted to, you know, his testicles. And they actually tried to do a uterus transplant so he could have a baby. And this is like back in the 30s.
I didn't know you could do a uterus transplant.
I didn't either. Well, but apparently they tried. Anyway, and it was unsuccessful, and she passed away. But that's an interesting, true to...
I will talk to my friend and find out if that's even possible.
That's right. You do have a friend who...
I have two friends who work in Trinidad under the only transgender doctor who does those operations.
That's right. That's right. South Africa's Minister for Women and Children has filed a complaint with the United Nations over how Caster Semenya has been handled. Now, have you heard about this story?
No.
This is the South African girl who, you know, she's a track star.
Oh, the track star. Yes.
Yes.
They're doing the testing.
Yeah, testing. She's pretty upset about the confidentiality of the test, and she says that it showed a blatant disregard for Semenya's human dignity. Now, the International Association of Athletics Federations has refused to confirm or deny the Australian report that says the text, that the tests show that, in fact, she has male and female parts. They haven't confirmed or denied it. But even so, her, you know, Caster, South African minister, they're so upset, saying that should have been doctor-patient confidentiality. I would assume so, but... At the same time, I don't know how you would think this news wouldn't get out.
Yeah,
she's an international track star.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, if you're competing against people and there's a question as to whether or not you should be competing, that's going to be news. My question about that is, let's say, for example, she's was born with both genders, basically.
And that's kind of how I think what the, at least what the reports, unconfirmed reports are saying is that she has no ovaries, no uterus, she also has no penis.
Right.
So that kind of does fall into place if she is. It has just three times higher the testosterone rate than a woman should have.
Well, and there are children who are born with both sexual organs.
Mm-hmm.
And parents make a decision, how am I going to raise this child? Am I going to raise this child as a girl? Am I going to raise this child as a boy? But they're really both.
Right.
So the question would be, let's say that is her situation. Because I don't know. I'm not a doctor, and I don't, you know what they've found so far. But let's say that was the situation with her, and her parents early on said, well, we're going to raise her as a child, and they had, you know, things removed, and you know, the surgeons went in and kind of made everything look more feminine. So how would she compete? Because she is always going to have that part of her DNA that says, well, yeah, I had male, you know, sexual organs. But at the same time, then can she go compete on the men's circuit? Because she has female sexual organs as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
you know, where do I compete?
And that's the million-dollar question. What do you do with someone who's born intersex? Are they just not allowed to compete?
Yeah, see, and that's...
I don't think that's the answer either.
Now I'm saying I'm going to penalize you for who you are.
I think initially, and I know there's been some controversy, even here on the show, me and Patty kind of got into it about this. I think some people don't even think she should have been tested, period. And I disagreed with that because I think what the IAFF was trying to do is just keep the playing field level, keep it, you know, fair. You know, you could, in fact, it is possible to have a man who transitioned over to a female, and now he's competing against women. That's not fair. Now, that's not her case, but they didn't know that. So I don't have a problem with them testing. It's just kind of blown up into this media circus now. But if, in fact, you know, she didn't lie, that's how she was born, she can't help that. At the same time, again, here, you know, we're back to square one. Is she just not allowed to compete anywhere? I don't know. They're going to have to come up with some remedy.
You know, and it's happened before at the Olympic level.
Oh, really?
There was a guy, and don't pin me on this. I think it was a Russian athlete, but I can't remember for sure. Because when I was reading the article about... you know, her, I then saw, you know, there was one of those links at the bottom about, you know, other stories that are similar.
Right.
And there was a guy who competed a long time ago, like maybe back in the 50s. I hate giving stories and not having all the real details, but basically they had him present himself as a female athlete to compete. He didn't have any operations or anything like that, but he presented himself as a female athlete, would dress, and they would keep him, you know, kind of away from other people. And they didn't find out until years later that he was a man and had, you know, won... you know, some different things. So I don't know that he won at the Olympic level, but competed from what I understand. And again, I may have some stuff mixed up there, and I hate getting partial stories, but there was something similar where a man had competed as a woman in the past. So
interesting.
It's not the first time they've had to worry about that type of thing.
Well, we'll definitely keep you up to date with everything we find out about this story, because this one has made international news, and it's just interesting, to say the least. We'll be right back on Lambda Weekly. Well, maybe we won't be right back on Lambda Weekly.
We're still back.
We're still back. I don't know what's wrong with the carts. They're not firing, so we'll just keep continuing. I do want to remind everybody, today is Dallas Gay Pride, also called the Texas Freedom Parade, the Alan Ross Texas Freedom Parade. And one of the parades, gay pride parades, are held mostly everywhere else in the United States and probably, I think, the world in June. That is the official Gay Pride Month. And one of the big questions is, why is it held in Dallas? Why are we different?
Why is it held in September?
In September. Why are we so different? September of 1983 is the first time that the Texas sodomy law was ruled unconstitutional.
Because it is.
And unfortunately, it was repealed shortly after that. So it was basically reinstated and wasn't ruled unconstitutional again until by the U.S. Supreme Court until 2003. But that's why. So it happened in September of 1983, and I think the case originated here in Dallas. So they moved Pride Month to September. So that's why. The parade starts at 2 o'clock. It goes from the corner of, of Cedar Springs, and it goes all the way to Turtle Creek Lee Park. And there's going to be a lot of people there gathering, some speeches and fun, and I think it lasts to 7 o'clock, so go have a good time. Since we're talking about youth issues today, there's another story that's been in the news that I thought was interesting. In California, everything happens in California, especially when it's gay-related. In California, a school district is under some fire because of some of an anti-bullying policy that they have in their classes that they're... mandatory classes that they're, having kids sit through. Basically, a lawsuit has been filed by angry parents who object to a gay-friendly curriculum. They say it's being forced in on kindergartens, could well become the test case for schools around the country. Now, what this is, basically, it's a class, a one-time class, once a year, a 45-minute video that they watch about gay-lesbian people. And it doesn't talk about sex. Just think it talks about name-calling, which you shouldn't do, accepting other people. Again, it's an anti-bullying curriculum. What do you think about that? I guess the big problem with parents have with this is that they can't opt out of it. They can't say that they don't have the right to pull their kids out of these classes.
And I think hopefully a lot of it is misconception. It's kind of like when... President Obama was going to address school children. People went, he's going to try and promote some sort of political agenda. Whereas, really, it was a speech on don't give up on yourself because you're giving up on more than just you.
Yeah, I would think that would be nonpartisan.
Yeah.
I would think.
It sounded to me like it was.
It sounded to me like it was. But anyway.
A lot of parents had this come out as saying this is anti-bullying and anti-harassment, and these are the things that will be covered. We're going to talk about, people who get harassed for their sexual orientation. We're going to talk about this. It would have been a little less, I guess, threatening to some parents.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you say, we're going to have a GLBT, session for your kindergartner, I don't necessarily know what that is as a parent, and is that something that I'm comfortable with? And some parents may not be. They may be like, well, what do you mean you're having a session like that for my kid? What are you going
to
tell them?
So, again, going back to the sex thing, you think that they automatically think you're going to be teaching my kid about gay sex?
Well, or saying, it's okay, and some people don't accept it that it's okay, and they don't want their kids to hear that it's okay.
Right.
Not that they want their kids to turn around and punch another kid for doing it, but some people aren't going to accept it, and they don't want somebody in the school to sit down with their kid and say, you have to accept this as being okay. Some people have a belief that it's not, and then they don't want their kids to hear any different. And as a parent, that's their right. I don't agree with it myself. My kids have known from day one that, not only are, some people straight, some people gay, but, my son, both of his godparents are gay. My daughter has been grown up to know, grows second grade now, and she'll tell you, sometimes boys marry boys, and sometimes girls marry girls, and sometimes boys and girls marry each other. That's right. Just the way it is. To her, that's always been the norm, because I've taught her that from day one. But some parents, they don't. And so would I say, if you were going to have a class where you said you have to accept this as being okay, I wouldn't want anybody to feel like their kids were being forced to learn something they did not believe is right.
Well,
even though I disagree with it, they have the right to that opinion. And as a parent, I wouldn't want them to be forced in a situation where they felt their child was being forced to accept something that they did not want them to accept.
I hear you on that, but I don't think what they're forcing, maybe in a roundabout way, I don't think they're really forcing that you have to believe that this is okay or not okay. I don't even think it even brings it up. But it's what I think the focus is what you said. It's an anti-bullying.
Oh, yeah. No, I think what they're doing, I think every kid should go to. I'm saying if the parent thought it was something else, I could see where they would be upset. Gotcha. And I'm hoping that's most of what it is. But I'm sure that some parents just don't want their kids to have anything to do with it.
Yeah, I don't think they want anything to do or want their kids to be around anything that has to even slightly speaks positively about gay and lesbian people.
All right. Listen in real close. Get real close to your speakers.
Okay, I'm listening.
They're going to be around people that are gay no matter what you do. You might as well let them learn about it.
Maybe we should fly you up to California.
I'm telling you, someday your kids will have sex, whether you want them to or not. You might as well help them learn about it. I mean, you know, it's a fact of life. Let's realize that and move beyond.
So you don't think this is about some form of indoctrination?
No, not at all. I mean, from what I read, from what you showed me, I mean, at the kindergarten level, they're talking about harassment. Right. Using certain terms as derogatory, like I've told you, I hate it when my students say something's gay and try to use it as a derogatory word, because, like, would you want me to associate something about you and say that that meant something derogatory? No one would want you to do that.
Right.
So I think teaching kids at a young age that it's not okay to say, oh, well, that's gay, and mean it in a derogatory term, to pick on somebody who they, you know, is different, is not acceptable.
That's what I don't understand. I don't get why parents don't understand that it's just not right to pick on other kids, period, for whatever reason. Again, it doesn't mean you have to believe or agree with who that person is or what they do, but it's still not a reason to go and hit them, call them names, and God forbid, even shoot and kill them, because that has happened.
Unfortunately.
Yeah, so I don't find a connect with that.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I know at the fifth grade level, as you said, and this goes from kindergarten to fifth grade. At fifth grade, they start talking more about sexual orientation.
Well, there's a book that they read, and I forgot that. I think it's called Tango Makes Three. Something like that. It's basically about those two penguins, those two male penguins that raise a chick together. Okay. You know, a cutesy little story like Heather has two mommies, that type of thing. Right. Something, an innocuous little story for kids to read. Yeah. But again, that is seen as by some parents like, okay, you're endorsing it. You're putting it on my kid. And I guess that...
And again, I think...
It's pushing the boundaries too much for
I think
them.
Maybe if you said, hey, we want the parents to come in and see what we're going to do, they might be a little more comfortable.